Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Republic Prayer Call for March, the, what is it, 12th or 13th or something? The day after Mother's Day, anyway. Who's got a check on the calendar? I think it's the 12th. So,
May 12th, not March.
May the 12th. My goodness. The month is moving along so fast. And it's exciting times we're in. Very exciting times. We're in the Hebrew calendar of Iyar, and I don't know if you guys had an opportunity last week to take the opportunity to download it and read some of it, but we're on Iyar 14 in the year 5785. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we'll get our sister to blow the shofar here. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for this Esther time we're in, the Esther moment, the suddenlies, the changes, the exciting transformation that we are on, where God is revealing all things that are done in secret. They're bringing them to be seen, and those who are up to no good are being exposed. So thank you, Lord. As you draw our hearts together this evening, I pray grace and blessing upon each of you on the call. We thank you, Lord, that you have good in store for your kids and that you guide us by sure steps. Give us the wisdom and discernment to recognize the times that we are in, the steadfastness to press on through challenges, through the surprises of unexpected things occurring. Some things unexpected are great. Some unexpected things require you to be humble and circumspect and gracious to those in your world. So, Lord, we offer you this time tonight. We give you praise, glory, and honor in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We ask you to guide us, guide our hearts tonight, that we may know you better because of the time we spend together. In Jesus' name. Please, sister, blow the shofar. Hallelujah. God reigns. He does indeed. Well, my sister Linda wants to declare this is an Esther time. So, Linda, if you have the scripture and you want to declare it, why don't you start with that?
Well, I don't have my Bible open to that, but the book of Esther talks about Haman, the Esther becoming queen and Haman being taken down and all of his sons and the evil people being taken down, and the king gave Esther and Mordecai rule and reign over the nation. And we are getting ready to see King Jesus give his body rule and reign over the nation, because the bad guys are going down in the name of Yeshua Jesus, and Trump and others are working overtime in that, and many of us are praying and declaring victory, and many things are happening. And in the book of Esther, when the good guys took over, many people saw the glory that manifested through them and became part of the kingdom of God. And that's what we're going to see happen. It's been declared a billion soul harvest. So I just praise God. We are in exciting times. And I praise God that he's going to allow us to participate in some way, even if it's just prayer and praise. But to God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. You know, in his kingdom prophecy, if any of you follow the prophets on HisKingdomProphecy.com, the a word for today is now is the time. and it's a prophecy by Chris G. Bennett, and it's updated from 2016 because it's very pertinent today. And I just like to read it. I've been seeking the Lord for relevant encouragement for Pentecost, and this is what I believe I hear him saying to us again today. Now is the time. Now is the hour, the minute, the moment when you must all choose whom you will serve. I'm sending my spirit to you with gifts you have dreamed of, but have not yet believed that you will receive them. I am sending my spirit with mantles of anointing you have asked for, but you have not expected to receive. Now is the time to stir up your faith, to listen to and believe in your own prayers. Did you not mean them when you asked me? Did you not think your requests are too much to expect from me? I have such plans for my churches, yet your plans do not match mine. Stretch out your faith, expand your tent pegs, cry out to me for the true desires of your heart, and I will fulfill. Accept and receive the anointing that I am sending, then stand back and watch me use you to turn your town, to your cities, even your country around. Abraham pleaded for the city for just 10 righteous men. I am telling you that I have found that if I find 5 who are righteous in your meetings, I will use them to break every opposition and yoke of slavery in your town, and I will send that move of my spirit for which you have yearned for so long. Now is the time. Reach out, cry out to me, and I will cry. I will hear your cry and answer you in a way you could not believe until you see it. Oh, you of so little faith, I am waiting on you. I long to fulfill all that I want to do among you. The promised move has started already. Lay hands upon it. Receive it. The church is going to get messy. Plan for new believers to come to you and plan to receive them with open arms of love. Plan to disciple them. Love them and remember the 2 excellent warning quotes. I find it incredible that Christ would die for the sinner in all of their mess, yet we're the ones who look at them and scorn. They first arrived with all their mess and baggage, as did most of us when we were first saved. Also remember that only heaven will tell how many people we turn off to the Lord by how we treat the unsaved and the newly saved. Treat the newly saved addict, the newly saved streetwalker, the newly saved homeless person, the newly saved single mom. Treat all newly saved folks with the same love that which Jesus treats all his prodigals. Now is a time when the Spirit of God will move upon his people and begin to bring in the harvest called revival. Lay hold of it while we have the time. Chris G. Bennett. Mark, go ahead and play a sound, a tone. Amen. Well, John Underwood said that he would like to play a 5-minute prophecy. And who's the lady again, John?
Her name is Carolyn Dennis.
Carolyn Daniels?
D-E-N-N-I-S.
Oh, Dennis. Okay, very good. So if you figured out how to do it, go ahead and give whatever introduction you want to it, and go ahead.
Yeah, so anyway, she's prophesying about the name of the prophecy is My Glory Shall Fill the Earth, a message from God. And she's talking about I think I've got the wrong prophecy up here. Let me see here. That is a good one, but it's not the one that I wanted to play. I don't think.
Well, if you want to work on it, you find it?
Yeah, let me go ahead and work on it for a little bit, and then you can tell me.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Carolyn, and this is Declaring Your Destiny. We're
yeah, go ahead and work on it. I'll work on it while you...
Okay, very good. So, Mark Tomaszewski, you're going to read the calendar entry for this for today, March 12th. So, for those of you who are following along in the calendar, it's on page 82.
All right. Thank you, Robert. So, I'm going to be reading today, Monday, May 12th of 2025. From the IR 14 in the year 5785. The title is Invest in What is Precious and Constant from Bernice Scheidler, Missouri City, Texas. God says, invest in what is precious and constant. Prophetic word, which was given March 29th, 2025. I had been praying on and off through the night, and I had a dream in the early hours of March 29. In the dream, I was touring a potential investment property with an agent. As I walked through each room, I looked not only at its current value and beauty, but also thought through how to increase its beauty and value to bring a return on the investment I would be making. I was taken outside and I was surprised to see a stunning pool that wrapped around the entire back of the property with fountains and water features everywhere. As I stepped back into the house, it was as though I stepped into the future, as though I already owned the home. I watched the thoughts and ideas I had for increasing the home's value come to life right in front of my eyes, and I saw a construction crew already at work, removing old, low ceilings and replacing them with tall, vaulted ones. Outdated finishes were being torn out, making room for new, beautiful finishes. As I awoke from the dream, I heard the Lord speak into my spirit. He said, invest in what is precious and constant. Homes often symbolize our life, calling, vocation, or ministry in dreams. I believe the Lord is speaking about investing our time, talent, and treasure into what is precious and constant, not only to us, but also to Him. As we do, we will see an exponential return on our investments in our lives. The definition of precious means valuable, beloved, worth the sacrifice. The definition of constant means steady, unwavering, and faithful over time. The Lord is highlighting three key rooms in our lives to invest in. Number one, purpose. Invest your time, talents, and treasure into what God has called you to do. Let go of distractions to focus on what is truly precious, His purpose for your life. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 says this in the New King James Version. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Number two, relationships. Invest in God-ordained relationships, those who are loyal, faithful, and supportive. Let go of connections that drain, distract, or dishonor you. Make room for relationships that build and bless. Proverbs 17:17 in the New King James Version says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verses 3 and 4 says, then Jonathan and David made a covenant. because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. And number three, finances. Invest your finances with the kingdom in mind. Align your giving and resources with heaven's priorities to produce lasting impact and eternal reward. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I decree and declare that your investments will align with God's heart, and that you will be abundantly blessed in Jesus' mighty name." And I say amen and amen to that one. All right, I'm done there. Thank you.
Amen and amen. And let's have a tone. In fact, we could do maybe there's one of the shofars, like by Steve Lustra. You know, I'm really enjoying the Hebraic calendar for a lot of reasons, but I had the opportunity on Saturday to go to a Shabbat, which is the Saturday service, and it was a lot of fun. It was different than I'd expected. Some of the songs I recognized, some of them were traditional Christian songs, and then they would sing them in Hebrew as well. The book that you read out of reads backwards. So page one is at the end of the book, and it's in Hebrew. Then page two is in English and has prayers and stuff on it. And so you read the book backwards. And that was a kind of an interesting experience for me. But anyway, where I was, the weather was having there was a tornado warnings. So we're in the service and, you know, doing a praise and worship, and then they're doing a teaching. There's one of the ladies was doing a teaching. In fact, it was President Geiger's wife. And then the storms got so bad that they had to move us all into like a center area which is all protected, because I learned some stuff. Like, one, if maybe you guys already know this where you live, but living in Colorado, we don't get hurricanes or tornadoes. But the tornado sucks things up. A hurricane spins, right? And then it spins, and there's an eye of it that's still, and then the rest whirls around it. But in a tornado, it can look like it's still or whatever else, and then it'll like suck everything out. So if you're by a big window or whatever else, you got to be careful, because it'll just turn those into shards of glass, right? So anyway, it was kind of fun to be in that environment, to see that humongous rain, and then it passed by us. But it was lovely to see the fellowship of a different part of the body of Christ for me. Everybody brings food, and then they all share it. And the teaching was very long and involved. Very interesting for me, because it was just on stuff that I had no concept of. So if you have an opportunity to go to a Shabbat, I just encourage you to check it out. That's another aspect of the body of Christ. And so I find it helpful. I find it helpful because I'm starting to watch my life move with the rhythms of God's calendar rather than the the Gregorian calendar. So much of our life is twisted, we don't even notice. I mean, our music is, John Rockwell's told us that for years at 440 is a perversion of the sound that should be 444, but our calendar is also perverted. So anyway, I find it to be exciting to watch God align my own inner clock more in rhythm with his. And the reason I went to the Shabbat was the weather. I knew the weather was going to be bad, and we're doing a construction project, and I was like, well, I can't work outside in that. So I chose to make my Sabbath Saturday rather than Sunday. So whatever the excuse, the good Lord gives us experiences and invites us to come into a different intimate relationship with him. And I just invite you to be open to what he's telling you in your world. I'm not saying you got to go and do that, but I just find that he's leading me as he leads us month by month in a calendar that Wade puts together and that Bruce so faithfully edits. All right, John, were you able to figure out the right prophecy there?
Yes, I'm ready to go, I believe.
All right, do you want to set it up with any comments?
Well, it's just that it's called This Great Day and the Terrible Day, Message from God, May 3rd, 2025.
Okay.
All right, this is called The Great and the Terrible Day. And the Father gave this to me on May the 3rd, 2025. These are the words from the Heavenly Father. Soon you will see the fruition of all that I have said through my prophets. They have all been telling you of things to come, some in part. Some have told you more than others, but each of my prophets have been holding a piece of the puzzle and have given it to you. So now you wait and wonder, what is next on the timeline? I am moving in everything that I have said, and soon you will see the great and terrible day is upon you. This will be a day like none other. There will never be another day in history like this one day, nor has there been a day such as this. So what to do to prepare for this great day and the terrible day? First, do not fret or worry and fear not. Fear not, my little ones, as I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. But this day will not be the end of the earth, but it will seem like it to some. Fear not, and remember, it is a two-part day. It is a great day, and it is a terrible day. How can you have both? For some, the day will be very, very great. For others, it will be very, very terrible. Terrible as in terrifying and earth-shaking and mountain-moving in their lives. The earth may not shake and the mountains may not move, but for some it will be worse than you thought. Which side are you on? The great or the terrible? Fear not, my child. Choose me. Choose wisely. And choose my son, Jesus. For many will be removed from this earth on this great and terrible day. And for all, life will never be the same. Yes, your life will change that day. And for you, my precious children, it will be a day of awe and wonder. a day to remember, and one that you will be grateful that I moved. A day you will commemorate and celebrate, as you will know that I, the great God Jehovah, set you free and gave you life more abundantly to the full and overflowing on the great day. The terrible day will remove much of what is hindering your promises answered in my earth. The evil and the sin is so rampant that the evil minions and the enemy are working against you all of the time. But wait, you just wait. There is no fear in my kingdom. There is no evil in my kingdom, and there is no sin. So fret not the great and terrible day that is upon you. It will come as a thief in the night. But which night? That is for me to know, as I cannot and I will not give the enemy my dates and times. So celebrate and think about it all you want, but I will not confirm either way. So fret not the day or the hour of the great and terrible day. Have I not always taken care of you all the days of your life, through the good and the not so good and the bad? Have I not worked all things for good in your life? This is a promise in my Bible, and I keep all of my promises always and forever. On the great and terrible day, first know that I love you. Know that you are loved with an everlasting heart, and that I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You are my child, and I will always protect you, as all good parents protect their children. Little one, know that you are loved. Loved beyond your understanding, beyond your thinking, and beyond your comprehension. So what will be different for you on this great and terrible day? You may experience some loss of people you know, but they are not mine. And in time you will be glad and you will understand. Your differences will be a new normal. Your new normal will be my glory in this earth. Your new normal will be your freedom from the evil ones. No more of this demonic lying and backbiting and slander and total ridiculous abuse of power and twisting of words and truth. My truth will reign in my earth, and my sons and daughters will walk in and know my truth. My world will be filled with truth, justice, and righteousness. The evil ones will be gone, and this spirit of evil will flee, as it will not be able to stand in the presence of my glory. My glory shall fill the earth, and people will be running to churches and filling the pews, praying and repenting and crying out to my precious Son Jesus. He will respond to all that call on his name. Cry out to Jesus all of your days, your good and your bad. My Son and I love you, and we will never leave you nor forsake you. We are always here. Just call our name. Do you not answer when your child or loved ones call your name? We are quick on the spot to respond. We do not leave you hanging, leave you on hold, or not respond. There are no crickets in my response to you, my precious child.
you are. Enjoy your place and the beauty there. Sing songs to my son and to me. I love you, the great Elohim. Amen. Woo! I love that.
All right. Pause it there. Praise the Lord.
When I first heard her, John, I was thinking, wow, this is very somber. But then when I kind of finally got it, she's talking about it's a terrible day, not for us, but for those who are not following the Lord.
Yeah.
What spoke to you in that?
Well, this the whole thing, I thought it was just amazing how the Lord just reveals his plan and his love for us and so many things in that one word, and how he's going to transform this earth right in front of our eyes.
yeah, exactly. We've been so used to things being oppressed for so long, haven't we? And it's like,
yeah.
Feel it. It's in the air. It's just like, oh yeah, good stuff's on the way.
Yeah, praise God. Praise God.
Well, thank you, brother. You know, I've been in kind of wondering where to take things, but this week I've been in 1 Samuel, and you know, the earlier prophet was saying how, don't you believe me when you pray to me? Can you not expect what I've got for you? And Hannah was she was praying in the temple before Eli, and he thought she was drunk. And she's going, "No, sir, no, I'm not drunk. I just have this this thing on my heart, you know." So Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you." But Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your sight." So she went away and went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And in the due course of things, she has a son. It's Samuel. And then she ends up having, so then, you know, when he's weaned, he brings her to the temple, and he then becomes dedicated to the Lord. And it's very interesting if you look at that time in history, because Eli was a big old fat priest. He was his sons were sinful. They were having sex with the girls in the temple, and he was himself. He wasn't diligent in following after God, and neither was his family. So here you have Hannah, who'd been deprived of child, and her heart is such that, "Look, Lord, if you give me a child, I'll give him to you." And he does, and Samuel becomes instrumental in turning the, well, one, God didn't speak a lot to his people back in those days. And but because of Samuel, God starts speaking to him. And then the people are saying, we want a king. We want a king like everybody else has a king. And God's saying, that's not what I want. And so Samuel's all worked up about it. And God says, look, don't worry, Samuel. They're not. It's not about you. It's about me. They're rejecting me. So this great and terrible day is a lot like was going on back in the Old Testament, where the people of God weren't listening to him. And so we just see some very interesting. I mean, Samuel's very interesting. The whole setup of Saul and Saul's the tallest of everyone around, and he goes and he gets blessed and he starts to prophesy, and you know, you think everything's going really great for this guy. But then he steps outside of God's plan by trying to I think about 2 years into his anointing or his kingship, he doesn't wait for the priest. He doesn't wait for Samuel. And then God says, well, you know, you can't do it like this. That's not how I work. And he removes a blessing from him and gives it to David. So anyway, this the attentiveness for all of us, I think, is a really important message that comes out of Samuel. We have been struggling through something in the Republic for some time, and I haven't really known how to broach it in a way that blesses everybody. But I wanted to go back to when I was in second year in Bible college. We had teachings from all sorts of different people, and one of them was from Marilyn Hickey. Marilyn Hickey is she's in her 90s now, I think, and her daughter following in her ministry. But she wrote a book, and it was called Breaking Generational Curses. And we see all sorts of nonsense go on between folks. And, you know, we try to, sometimes we blame the devil, sometimes we blame other people. But I think what I'm finding with her work is that we have to look at ourselves. We have to look at our roots. We have to look at, yes, we're born again. Great. We're a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. But there are some things that kind of linger. And you kind of have to look at it and say, okay, how much of that is nonsense and how much of that is actually legitimate? So I want to just take time to read a little bit from the beginning of her book to just whet your appetite for something I think God's putting on my heart for us to dig deeper into. Not to get focused on it to the point where we don't recognize his intervention, but to recognize that there are woundings, there are patterns, there are things that are upon us, and it's good for us to look at them. In the beginning, God created the perfect family. He created Adam and Eve and placed them in the utopic setting of the Garden of Eden with the charge to be blessed and to live an abundant life. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And with dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree to you it shall be for meat. And to each beast of the earth and to every fowl of the air and to everything that creeps upon the earth, whereto there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it's out of Genesis 1:28-30. Adam and Eve walked in the fullness of God's provision until Satan deceived them and they lost their dominion over the earth. Prior to their fall, their family was blessed. After the fall, however, the curse of sin, death, and destruction entered. The family of God, the family as God originally created it, had not been the same since. Because of their transgression, Adam and Eve placed themselves under the curse that not only impacted their family, but all the families that had come after them. God pronounced a curse upon the serpent and the land. Adam was sentenced to a life of hard labor, and Eve's pain during childbearing was greatly increased. Adam and Eve went from from a place of great abundance, prosperity, and peace, to a place of death, disease, and fear. Every undesirable hereditary trait which seemed to run in the family came directly from the sin of Adam and Eve. They were directly responsible for what is known today as the generational curse. To the woman, he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. To Adam, he said, cursed is the ground because of you. Therefore, painful toil you will eat of all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. But by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food. That's in Genesis 3:16-18. If there's anything that you and I want, it is for our families to be strong, healthy, and blessed. Yet from the beginning, we see the degeneration of the family structure. As we trace Adam and Eve's family tree, we discover that after they were evicted from the garden, Eve gave birth to two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain became jealous of his brother, Abel, and murdered him. Genesis 4. Cain's descendant, Lamech, followed in his forefather's footsteps and also murdered a man in Genesis 4:23. There's a definite hereditary trait that passed from one generation to the other. Sins Revisited. In Exodus 20, verse 5, we discover the profound truth having to do with these hereditary traits or family weaknesses that are passed from generation to generation. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, that is, idols, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I'm sure all of us can think of certain families that have been ripped apart by some problems of alcoholism, obesity, or teenage pregnancies. You may be able to examine your own family tree and recognize a pattern of disease or infirmity. Or you may see a certain characteristic such as adultery or child abuse and think, wow, my family tree is a mess. Don't panic. God has made the provision for you and your future generations. Isaiah 53:12 says that Jesus bore our sins. The Bible makes a distinction between the term sin, iniquity, and transgression. Not only did Jesus bear our sins on Calvary, but he also bore our transgressions and iniquities. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Well, we see the same thing in the New Testament in 1 Peter. Sin means to miss the mark. So when you sin, you miss the mark or fall below the mark of what God has called you to do. We all have been guilty of missing the mark at some time in our lives. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3:23. Transgress, on the other hand, means to trespass or overstep pre-established boundaries. We can trespass against man and God. If I were to come up to you and purposely step on your foot or violate you, your no trespassing sign, by entering onto your property without permission, I'd be transgressing against you. But Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. If you look at the body of Christ, you see 7 times Jesus' blood was shed. He was circumcised at birth. His beard was plucked. A crown of thorns was pressed on his head. His hands and feet and side were pierced, and his back was beaten. 7 is the number of completion. And I believe God is telling us that Jesus has completely provided for every kind of weakness, infirmity, and transgression that we could have through the 7 wounds. he endured. We can truly say Christ's provision is full and complete. I want to talk about the mystery of iniquity. The word iniquity means to bend or to distort the heart. It also implies a certain weakness or predisposition toward a certain sin. Isaiah calls Christ, what says, Christ was bruised for our iniquities in Isaiah 53:5. If you commit a certain sin once and repent of it and never do it again, then that's the end of it. However, your sin becomes an iniquity when you keep committing the same act. It goes from being a sin to an iniquity. Sometimes that is practiced over and over again until it becomes spontaneous. Given certain circumstances or the right environment, you will bend in that direction. If a sin is repeatedly committed, it becomes an iniquity which can be passed down through the bloodline. When a person continually transgresses the law, iniquity is created in him, and that iniquity is passed to his children. The offspring will have a weakness in the same kind of sin. Each generation adds to the overall iniquity, further weakening the resistance of the next generation of sin. In Exodus 20, verse 5, speaks very specifically about the iniquities of the forefathers. If the family tree is not cleansed of this iniquity, then each generation becomes worse and will do what their parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents did. The next generation will bend in the same way as the past generations, and it becomes a bond of iniquity or a generational curse in that family. We all have seen that one or both parents or grandparents were alcoholics, and one or more of the offspring became alcoholics too. And to think of it started as a sin, with that one person who overindulged. But because he practiced it and did not repent, his drinking became an iniquity. Consequently, that family begins to bend to have a predisposition towards alcoholism. Let me give an example. My father had two nervous breakdowns. I didn't know that until later, but my grandfather had mental and emotional problems as well. I never thought of that as being an inherited trait or something I had a predisposition toward. When I was 36 years old, however, I was under tremendous pressure. The devil spoke to me and said, "You are just like your father. You look and act like him. You are going to have a nervous breakdown just like he did." I foolishly agreed. "Yes, I'm just like my father. I'm going to have a nervous breakdown too." It was at that point that the Lord spoke to me and said, "That's right. You are just like your father. I'm your father, and I've never had a nervous breakdown, and neither will you." Jesus was bruised for my iniquities. Through the wounds and bruises he endured on the cross, the provision of being made to restore you and your family to a state of blessedness Adam and Eve once enjoyed in the garden. The difference between a wound and a bruise is that if you wound yourself, it will eventually scab over and heal. A bruise, however, can stay around for a long time. It may become discolored or can even go so deep as to bruise the bone. An iniquity can be compared to a bruise because it stays around and goes to the bone from generation to generation. The Apostle Paul had a revelation of this when he wrote, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work." 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The mystery of iniquity to which Paul is referring is the unseen and mysterious connection between the father's sins and the path of his children. For example, if a father is a liar and a thief, his children are prone to the same behavior, regardless of their training, social, cultural, and environmental influences. Both sin and iniquity are spiritual terms. We don't always grasp the significance of such terms as we would for something relating to the natural. Paul wrote that the things are not seen, the things not seen are understood by the things that are made, Romans 1:20. He was referring to the natural universe, creation, when he spoke of the things that are made. Likewise, the spiritual can be understood by the natural. For example, diabetes as well as cancer can be an inherited disease. So she goes on, there's a great deal of scripture in what she writes, a great deal of understanding that she's gleaned in her life. And I want to just invite us to explore that, because there's all this talk of, there's a lot of spiritual warfare that's going on in the Republic for all of the discord that's gone on, all the strife that's gone on. A lot of it is battling in the heavenlies. You know, we fight not against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in high places. So we have to look to be discerning to go, how much of that is the spiritual warring that's going on around us, and how much of it are we susceptible and played into because we have not examined the iniquity or the generational curses or the generational sins, the habitual sins that we may have been come down through our family line. I don't give it a great deal of credence, particularly in the life of a born-again believer, but born-again believers do have oppression. Born-again believers' life are not all, you know, happy-go-lucky, everything works out perfectly, and you live happily ever after. There is a great deal of adversity in life. So we have to be evaluating, prayerful, to say, Lord, show me what it is. Show me if there's stuff here that I'm carrying, and ways I think towards people, judgments I make towards other people that I think I'm so right and so self-righteous about, that maybe we should be slower to speak, quicker to listen, and that some of the reactions come because we were treated some way by others earlier in our life, and we develop defense mechanisms and ways to protect ourselves, which aren't godly. And so there are some things we need to think about. I just wanted to open the door to that tonight, to really get us to do some self-examination and have God show us, ask the Holy Spirit to show us individually what it is that we might be struggling with that is something we can do something about. So that's all I want to say on that for now, but I do want to open up the call, Mark, to anybody who wants to speak into that, who has some experience. So say your name and share what God's put on your heart.
Robert, Mark would like to say something. If no one else has anything to do, I want to give everyone else a chance first, but I would like to speak into this a little bit.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so that conversation about those things, when I was, you know, 30 years ago as a young believer, that concept scared me a lot, of being generational curses, because the way that it was taught so many different places is that you are helpless, you can't help it, it's just going to happen because of generational sin. And for many years, that this caused me to want to give up and throw in the towel. And I want to encourage people that though those things are written in Scripture, Jesus has declared we have a way to be free from all things in our life. And I did have in my family multiple things going on, not only physical sicknesses, but also alcoholism in my family. And so thankfully I had one man mentor me for a few years to say, Mark, yes, that is your past. That does run in your family, but you can change all that. Jesus has made a way. And I said, well, I need to figure this out. So I spent a long time, a couple of years studying it. And I'm very thankful for Ezekiel chapter 18, where it explains in detail verses 1 through 32 that it doesn't matter the past. You can change all of that. And if you have these generational patterns of iniquity in your life, they can stop because Jesus has made a way. And I am the first one in my family to be free of alcoholism and all of the other diseases that we have in our family because I just said, I don't believe my God has... He has given me a way, and Jesus is my way, the only way. And through pursuing that, I had to grow and mature through my habitual things that did get passed on through my family of thought, what we believed about ourselves when it comes to health and finances and attitudes and alcoholism. And I just wanted to kind of put my spin on it that you can be free of all of these things. And go read Ezekiel chapter 18, the whole thing. And it talks a lot about these different things. And yes, become aware of them because sometimes we have deep, deep habits and beliefs that were passed down through us. But by the renewing of our minds, we don't have to be conformed to the world, but we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And He is good and He is faithful. And I'm one here to say that I am free of all of those generational things in my family. Hallelujah. I yield.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. There's a saying, and I can't tell you who it is who quoted it, but there's a saying that says, an unexamined life is an unexamined life is a life not worth living. And I think that we have to be willing to examine ourselves. We're taught to do that before we take communion. We're taught to examine ourselves. And oftentimes we say things like, oh, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Oh, well, yeah, my father was always like that. Oh, yeah, this is like we shrug our shoulders and say, oh, yeah, that's just me. You know, take me for what it is. That's the person who I am. And I think there is value in examining the different aspects of what our life is. Absolutely, we can be free, but we cannot be free without examining. You can't be free without renewing your mind. God says, you know, offer your body a living sacrifice. And to renew your mind. That's how our lives change. It doesn't just change because, you know, we think some sweet words about it. So thank you for that. That's good. So Ezekiel 18 is your study chapter for the week?
Yes.
Very good. Is there someone else who's got something that's on their heart they want to share about this?
Well, I was just going, this is Pat Moulton, and I was just going to say that people almost curse themselves with their words. They'll say, it is what it is, has become very popular. And that really goes against my heart, because then they're saying you can't change anything or that God isn't capable.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it is what it is. It's like, yeah, well, it is what it is, but you can stand in the gap and go, no, I declare it's going to be this, right?
So I'd like to give a testimony. Last November on a prayer call, someone gave the word that our leader had said, it feels like there is an occult firestorm. And I didn't like that, but I didn't say it. But I usually say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. 2 hours after that call, I broke my kneecap.
Oh, my goodness.
So I really felt I had allowed a curse in.
Well, thank you. That's good. That's very good. And we have to be careful, don't we, in terms of the forces that we're dealing with. The prophecy that says that, this is a dark day, a dreadful day or whatever, is for the devil and his minions, not for God's kids. Well, thank you, Patricia.
Matthew.
Where are you? Go ahead.
This is Matthew.
Hello, Matthew.
Hey, the one thing I had for instrumental people in my life, you know, stuff that spoke to me, you know, but I still struggle. I'm trying to overcome and stuff with the speaking of and doing more listening instead of speaking, you know, and because of the fact that, you know, and asking God to help me with putting a filter on and stuff.
You know, Matthew, one thing I find is a really powerful way of overcoming in that regard is take scripture. You take scripture and read scripture out loud. And, you know, the perfect one that I just love in this season that we're in the world is you just take Psalm, and instead of just reading it to yourself, read it out loud. You know, Psalm 2 says the Messiah's triumph and kingdom. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. But we can speak into that. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill in Zion. So here you are in the middle of all sorts of adversity, all sorts of attacks from the world that's trying to run us amok and put all sorts of crazy stuff in our water and our air and our electronic fields and whatever else. And we can declare that is my king. Yet I have set my king on his holy hill in Zion. So we're speaking above that. We're speaking to it. We're speaking beyond it. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. And just that ability to speak the word of God into whatever you're facing, Matthew, is just so powerful. It just, that God's word becomes your word. You don't have to get, you know, complicated with it. You don't have to get anything else other than God's word overcomes all things. And as we declare that out of our mouth, it gives us greater confidence and assurance that we're on the right side and he's overcoming things in our own life.
Amen.
Amen. So what have you got, a tone for us, a song? You got something you'd like to share from your heart, Matthew?
Yeah. Working out the details in our hearts today. Coming up and coming through and coming forth in a new way. Hearing all together we sing. Holy, holy is he the Lord. Glory in him, glory in him. We sing praises.
We sing his praise. Amen. On our prayer call, we take communion together. So if you are new and you would like to gather some bread or some cracker and some juice or wine, I'm going to invite our brother Bruce Dietler to guide us in communion and his thoughts this evening. So, Bruce, what is happening in the week that is? Anything that you would like to report, brother?
All things good on the political scene. Beyond that, what is going on in the Lord's kingdom is always good, and he always causes us to triumph. 1 Corinthians 15:57 and 2 Corinthians 2:14. He always causes me to triumph in Christ Jesus. So in that regard, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. We win. Glory to God.
Amen.
Would you like me to go ahead with communion at this time, or
yes,
wait
please?
Minute?
You can if you were ready. I didn't mean to spring it on you, but if you were ready, you certainly may.
Yeah, okay. I'm in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning in verse 23. This is during the Last Supper, and Yeshua Jesus said, "For I have received of the Lord that no, this is excuse me, this is Paul relating this. I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do share the Lord's death till he show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for the other. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." So, as we prepare for communion tonight, we take the bread. Father, we thank you. The bread represents the broken body of our Lord Yeshua, HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I thank you that he took our sicknesses upon his own body. He bore our sicknesses, he carried our diseases, and with his stripes we were healed, according to 1 Peter 2:24. And if we were healed, we are healed. So, Father, we thank you that the healing is already accomplished in heaven. Let it be done in our bodies, Father God, as we receive the completed work of Yeshua by faith, completed in our lives. Partake of the bread. And as we lift the cup before the Lord, we thank you, Father, for the precious blood of your Son, Yeshua, shed for the remission of our sins, that our sins are washed away. We have been washed by the blood of the perfect Lamb of God that took away the sins of the world. Our sins are taken away. Your word declares that you remember them no more. Let them be washed from our minds, Lord, as well. Cleanse us today, Father God. Cover us with the precious blood of your Son, Yeshua, and glorify your name in and through our lives as we desire to walk pure and holy before you, Father, in the blood of Yeshua. So, Father, as we take this juice, we thank you. The work is completed. The devil is under our feet. Every wicked spirit, every evil spirit, every curse causeless spoken against us, and any foul thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ, we condemn and we put it under the blood of Yeshua. We thank you, Father, the work is finished, complete, and done, and we receive of this juice now in Jesus, Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
Glory.
Glory.
Amen. Thank the Lord. It's done.
It is done.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken, and I'm accepted. You were condemned, and I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Amazing love. Amazing, amazing love. Kirk Wheeler out of Indiana. What has God put on your heart this evening, brother? And do you have any prayer requests?
There we go.
There you go. Now I can hear you.
Okay. For my grandson, Kian. He has interesting stories. Has autism. He grew up with autism, and then he was a freshman in high school on his way to school. He got hit by a truck, he was in a coma at the Children's Hospital in Indianapolis for 2 months. But he did continue on, you know, with medication and therapy and all that. And he did graduate from high school, but he's still struggling. He's 20 years old now, and he works at Walmart collecting carts and that sort of thing. That's what he's doing. But it's struggles with the mental anguish and thoughts that, you know, are in his head and this sort of thing. So he does confide in me, and he has been doing that quite often here. Well, today and yesterday and my wife as well. So, you know, we try and get him to, you know, hit the Bible, read the Bible, provide him with references, things to read in the Bible. So we just need to keep prayers for Kian and hope the Lord works with him and through him and help him to get better.
So, Kirk, did you say his name was Ken or Kenan?
Kian. K-I-A-N. Kian.
I'm not getting it. I-A-N or K-I-A-N?
K-I-A-N.
Kian. Okay, now I got it. All right. So I have a question for you, Kirk. I know nowadays our children are subjected to many, many, many vaccines. I think when I was a kid, we had maybe 3 or 4. We had smallpox and, you know, I think chickenpox. You went over to stay the night at your friend's house to make sure you got it, so then you were immune. And you might have got polio, and you might have got, I don't know, something else. But did Ian have a lot of vaccines when he was young?
I've asked him that question. I don't know that he knows. His mother might. I'd have to ask her. But, yeah, hepatitis B vaccine is supposedly causes autism from a CDC study done in 1989 shows up to 1,350% increase in autism from hepatitis B vaccine. It's horrible.
It really is. I think that the amount of things that our youth have to contend with stuff that our society is giving them in the interests of protecting their health is questionable, to say the least. May I pray for him?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So, Heavenly Father, we lift up Kian to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for his grandfather. We thank you, Lord, that he cares and speaks into his grandson's life. We just bless him as he works for Walmart. We speak a desire and a thirst in him now, a stirring up in him to have a desire to know God's word, to know the Bible, to know a deeper way, a better way, a way of life that's full and rich. So, Lord, we just speak into his condition, not only the autism, but the trauma from a truck accident. I know trauma from accidents can last a long time. So we just speak healing into his body. We speak healing into the core of his molecular structure and in his the atom cells and electrons in his body, that if there are poisons in there that have been inserted through the vaccine process, we just reject it now and we say, go, leave his body now. We call for the blood to go in and to dissolve these particles and these pieces that cause the body not to function correctly. We just thank you, Lord, that you've got good in store for Kian, that he's a young man in the prime of his life. We just thank you that you deliver him from this adversity and show him that you thoughts you think towards him are good, to bless him, not to harm him, give him a future and a hope. And we declare this in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you.
Robert, this is Mark.
Mark, go ahead.
Kirk, I feel like I would like to pray for you. I just feel like the Lord gave me a word for you. You okay with that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Father, I thank you for Kirk and his heart and his wife's heart to bring to Kian the love of God, the healing touch of the Savior. Father, I'm speaking a word of blessing over Kirk and his wife, that you give them the heart of a discipler and you anoint his words with the power of God, that he will have words for Kian, that he will have insight into Kian's life, his mindset, and he will disciple him towards Jesus. And I pray that you will speak vision, Kirk, into his life, that you will see Kian as God created him, and that you will speak words of life into Kian that will become irresistible because they were God-centered, they are God-focused, they are full of God's anointing. And as you speak words into Kian's life, he will develop a vision for his life, which will create a desire to seek the Almighty Lord, because your words will carry power and anointing, and you will know that you were called to speak into Kian's life, and you will do it because you know you were called and you were anointed for such a time as this. I just declare a blessing over you and your ministry in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So be it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Is there anyone else who has prayer needs that they would like to speak out?
Order. This is Robin from Alabama, and my girlfriend Susie did have a brain tumor removed last Monday, and she finally got her pathology report back, so it is cancer. They're going to wait and get a second opinion to decide if they're going to do any treatment at all or, you know, radiation, chemo, whatever they decide to do. So if somebody could say a prayer for Susie.
Well, yes, Robin, I just want to encourage you that it's all fine and dandy to get the doctor's report, but now you can speak into Susie's life and you can speak to that cancer and you can say, cancer, go in Jesus' name. Cancer, I command you to shrivel and die in Jesus' name. You're a foreigner. You don't belong in Susie's body. Declare your own skill in the healing field, and you just say no. We say no to cancer. We do not have to accept it. The first report is not the last report. You don't have to accept it just because the doctor says so, but you need to stand with her and command it to go. You can't just wish and hope that it's going to leave. You need to stand in the authority you have as a believer with Susie. And you go, Susie, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And I stand with you in agreement to say that you are healed. So we speak to this cancer and we say, you don't belong here. We call the blood to change its whole structure. We call for the blood to become more alkali. We call for the things that cause acidity in her body to go, so that she lives a long and full life. In Jesus' name. So I want you to take that and apply it with her as she goes into the next phase of it, okay?
Okay, I sure will, because each and every day is a gift from God. lovingly prepared, covered with His grace, and wrapped with a quiet strength that our hearts always need. And I pray that everyone on the call, that He delights in each one of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Robert.
Amen.
Robert, can I speak into this also?
And also as far...
Just a moment, Robin. Yes, go ahead, Bruce.
All right, Robin, one of the scriptures that I mentioned a moment ago, 2 Corinthians 2:14. You have a Bible, you look up that scripture, and you present that scripture to your friend. That's what a friend does. Give them the Word of God. The Word says, and this will speak specifically to her situation. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. We'll triumph over what? Anything and everything, including cancer. So it says, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. But the declaration, you declare, have her declare, have her come on board with you and put yourselves in agreement. The Word says if two or more shall come together on anything and pray, it shall be done for them of the Father. So put yourself in there vigorously, authoritatively, give her the Word of God, have her agree with you in prayer, and expect the positive outcome. That is the final report, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Mark, that deserves a shofar blow.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Amen.
And also as an update on Ricky, his funeral's on Thursday, and he was a believer. I did talk to his wife, and you know, the doctors were always around when I was in there, and staff, so I was very happy to hear that. He will be buried at the National Cemetery on Thursday. So again, thank you so much for all the prayers, everything that everybody did. For the last 3.5 months, I appreciate it so much.
Praise God. So he's having a celebration, going home to Jesus.
That's Hi, right.
Lord.
Amen. All right, so Jim Carpenter, what's God got on your heart, and would you like to close this out in prayer, brother?
Good evening, Chaplain. Everyone.
Good evening.
What a wonderful day in paradise. Very good message tonight. Yes, we all are in a learning growth process. And thank God it hadn't finished. It's His fire, it's His purification fire, not ours. We need to have an ear to hear and an eye to see and a spirit of valor and a mustard seed of faith. And with that, we can conquer and do anything and greater things like the Lord said. And this is our hour to shine. What a privilege to serve a risen master with like-minded brothers and sisters in facing the days to come. But I do believe that we're going to be faced with more abundance than we could ever have imagined. And so that's my perspective for today. I'll close in prayer. Lord, so wonderful to come into your presence, Yahweh. for sending your son Yeshua to pay the price to give us the victory so that we can stand in the victory as your adopted children, where no weapon formed against us will prosper, where you destined each and every one of us for this day and hour that you prepared us for this. Let us search our hearts as the Holy Spirit to reveal those spots within our personalities, within our bodies, our beings that are troublesome. And he will reveal it, his job, his duty, his promise to us, along with we are overcomers through Yeshua, who strengthens us. And we thank you, Father Yeshua, for that promise, that covenant. Bless each and every one of us as we go forward. Just from this day forward, let us be a light to a dark world. Blessings on each and every one of us and our efforts that we have seeds we plant. Bring abundant harvest that glorify you. In Yeshua's name, we give you the praise and the glory. Amen. Amen.